We're getting to do joy next week. But today we're going to look at this idea of peace. And I think you're going to see today, as we look at the idea of peace, that I think some people are confused about what Jesus brings when it comes to peace. And you guys can check the preacher. Oh, by the way, your preacher's going to make a confession here. Everybody better write this down because I don't do this very often, right? I don't make mistakes, just opportunities. You ever heard that? Write that one down. That's pretty good, isn't it? Okay. Todd even liked that one. Last week, I could not think of Ash Wednesday for the life of me. I know you guys are like, come on, Pastor Penn. Ash Wednesday is the time of Lent. I was trying to help you, remind you of some other church calendar things. You can tell I'm not a very liturgical person, so that's kind of from my background. And then on Wednesday night, I was struggling so much because I was like, I know they crossed over from east to west, but they came from the west. So how did that happen? So if you come this next Wednesday night, I will re-explain how the children of Israel moved from Egypt out of the west, but then they moved back on a better map, okay? That's been bothering me all week. Do you ever do things like that? I know you guys don't have those problems, right? All right, let's look together today the idea of bringing peace. Again, even at this time of year, we will hear people sing and say a lot about peace on earth, right? Goodwill toward men, right? That's what we might even have as a goal. But I'm going to challenge you a little bit with what Jesus means as peace relates to him. And even today, as we think about peace and the coming of peace, I hope that you will really open your heart to what the Lord would say to you today. Let's look together, first off, in Matthew in chapter 10, in verse 34. This is a very interesting verse about peace. Jesus says, again, Jesus, these are his words. Jesus says, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth." Does that bother you a little bit? Jesus says, don't suppose I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but what? But a sword. Wow. Really cheery, happy Christmas message this morning, right, Pastor Penn? Okay. I want you to dig into this. I think you'll find great joy when you understand the peace that Jesus brings. But I think sometimes the peace that people are looking for is not the peace that Jesus came to bring the first time he came, all right? The Bible begins and it ends and it middles all through it with this idea of peace. Even the Jewish idea of shalom, you might hear them say the word shalom, which is the Hebrew word for peace. We start with a garden, right, with perfect peace. Can you imagine that place? All right. I mean, you want to talk about just being, everything being right. Have you ever wanted that in your life? Even just for like a day or an hour, just everything be right? That's how this place was made. Before sin entered the world, that's the kind of peace that existed here. So we start with perfect peace in the garden. And in the end, in the very presence of God, after Jesus comes and he conquers his enemies and he sets up his kingdom, there will be peace like there hasn't been since the creation of the foundation of the earth. All right. Again, Advent is about Jesus came, but he is coming. And so as you think about candles and poinsettias, and hopefully as you guys, some of you are doing your Advent devotionals, you'll be reminded of these truths that you have so much to look forward to. Christmas is not the end, but it's just the beginning of the truth that Jesus is coming. All right. And even the middle, what do we see? So in the beginning, we have this creation, perfect peace. In the end, we have Jesus conquering his enemies, sets up his kingdom, perfect peace. But in the middle, and we talked about this today, we have a cross, right? And that's what Todd read for us today. Did you hear that? Did you catch hold of that? Isaiah, 700 years before the cross ever happened, Isaiah wrote down, the chastisement for our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, by his wounds, we are healed. There's peace right in the middle, isn't there? You guys, that's the peace that the world needs today. Are you following me? All right. Hey, I'm with you. I don't like wars. I don't like all this crazy like kidnappings and struggles and tensions. I don't like to see places like Aleppo. I don't like that at all. But I'm going to tell you, unfortunately, that is going to be here. Those kind of things are going to be here until Jesus comes. But the peace that was born out for us on a cross, that reconciles the sinful man with a holy God, that peace can be had by anyone today if they would repent of their sins and accept Christ as their Savior. That's peace. All right, now you can rest if you want. That's the message. That's what we want people to grab
hold of.
If you would kind of know a few things about peace, I wanted to share with you this morning. Just the first one, that oftentimes peacemakers have problems. Did you guys realize that sometimes worldly peacemaking often ends up in more chaos? Is that true? Maybe on occasion. Let me give you an example. And again, I'm not very political, so bear with me in this. But the idea was that we would go into Iraq, we would take down a dictator, ruthless, and that would bring peace to the area, right? Well, the dictator got taken down, and then here we are 10 years later or whatever, and what do we have now? We have ISIS populating Mosul, and just they're sacrificing people left and right. So sometimes our efforts at peace are futile. And I'm not saying we shouldn't try to make peace. We definitely should. But I'm saying from a worldly perspective, peacemaking often can end in more chaos. And so today what I want you to see is that peace is more than the absence of conflict. There's absence of conflict. That's a great idea. Hopefully in your home you don't have conflict and you like to pull any of the conflict out. The absence of that conflict is a nice thing, right? But the truth of the matter today is peace is the presence of righteousness. And that's what's going to make things peaceful again. That's why things were peaceful in the garden, because there was no sin, because righteousness prevailed. And that's why when Jesus comes again and sets up his kingdom, peace will prevail, because righteousness will rule and reign over the earth. That is what will bring peace. So you have the absence of conflict, but more so, you have the presence of righteousness. And so, you guys, that's how we bring peace. Did you realize that? That's a little bit of pressure on you, isn't it? As you live out the Word of God in your life, you are becoming a peacemaker, because God's righteousness through his son Jesus will be present where you go. There may not be the absence of conflict, but if righteousness is present, peace will ultimately prevail. And lives and hearts that are broken and chaotic, the Lord will begin to restore them as we live out the gospel in our own lives. That's why it's so important today that we understand peace is the presence of righteousness. Peace is more than just a truce. You guys ever seen things like that? You have to pardon me, but all I think about this morning is like Bugs Bunny and Elmer Fudd and Daffy Duck, and they're always raising the white flag in those cartoons whenever they're having their battles, right? Peace is a truce. Sometimes it's described that way, isn't it? Well, we're just going to stop fighting for a while. Peace. Truce. But you guys know that peace is so much more than that. Peace is true reconciliation. Peace is forgiveness. Today, if you want peace, man, it is made available to you through the blood of Jesus. Your sins can be forgiven, they can be washed, and you can be white as snow. And let me tell you about sleeping that way rather than sleeping with a guilty conscience. You can sleep forgiven tonight. And your cousins and your neighbors and your coworkers and your people in your neighborhood, they can know that too. If we'll share with them that peace is not just a truce, but peace is real forgiveness with a holy God. If you repent of your sins and trust him, you can find forgiveness that gives you complete and perfect peace. That's the gospel, folks. That's the message. That's why we preach it every Sunday, and we still got to do our job to share it out as the Lord leads. And I want to say, hopefully you'll understand what I'm getting at this morning. God wants more out of you than being a nice person. I think sometimes we think of peace as just being nice. Well, everybody just be nice, and then we'll have peace. God wants more than you just having a positive outlook on life. He is looking for righteousness. The truth is, this righteousness, this purity, this single focus of life goes hand in hand with peace and peacemaking. Righteousness is handling decisions God's way, and that's what brings peace. It's that kind of a cliche, I guess you would say. You know, what would Jesus do? But that is exactly what we're talking about today. How do I make decisions that will please the Lord? Well, here's a few things for us to think about today. And the first one we're going to start off with is we need to look for the Prince of Peace. We need to look for Jesus where we live. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, one of my all-time favorite scriptures. The Word of God says this to us. Isaiah writes, "For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace." Jesus gets born into one of the darkest times and the light shines. Isaiah also writes that as well. The scriptures tell us that Jesus even is our peace. In Ephesians chapter 2, in verse 14, the word of God says this, "For he himself is our peace, who has made the two one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility." Right? Everybody familiar again, right, with the Holy of Holies? Remember your tabernacle? You got your outer court, right? And then you kind of got the inner sanctuary. And then you have that place where only the high priest goes, and usually goes on the Day of Atonement. And when he goes in, the place is so holy, he has to wear a bell around him in case God were to strike him dead. They would not hear him moving, and they could pull him out. That's an interesting concept, isn't it? We don't think of God being holy like that too much today. Did anybody, were you afraid today that if you walked into this place that God might strike someone? We don't live like that, do we? Well, part of the reason is that God broke down that barrier. When Jesus died on the cross, what happened to the veil that separated that inner sanctuary from the Holy of Holies? It was ripped in two, wasn't it, right? Jesus, he himself is our peace, okay? And again, I hope that you desire worldly peace and that there would be no conflict. That's a great thing to pursue and desire. But what Jesus is today is something different than that. He tears down the wall of hostility between us and God. We were at enmity with God. We were enemies with God. But if we accept what Jesus did for us, we are friends of God. Chew on that thought for a little bit. Isn't that awesome? Today, you who have been far from God, who are at enmity with God, you were his enemies, you were sinners, you were destined for an eternity away from God, Jesus came, and because of that, not only is there no conflict now, there is friendship and reconciliation. You are an adopted son and daughter of the Almighty God if you accept what Christ did for you. That's the gospel. That's true peace. Guys, that's the peace we want to share. And that's, as you think today, you think about this coming, a peace that came when Jesus died on the cross. Also think of that coming that where one day all things will be made right. In Zechariah's song in Luke chapter 1, he declares Messiah will come and he'll even guide our feet to peace. Luke chapter 1, verse 78, the word of God says this, "Because of the tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." Jesus came to bring peace, all right? But again, I hope that you're seeing today the way that the world sees peace sometimes and the way that Jesus defines it may be different. True peace today is only found in Christ. So probably by now you're saying, well, this peace stuff, it's all well and good, preacher, Pastor Penn, but if I understand that Jesus is peace, and if his mission was to bring peace on earth, then I think maybe he's failed, right? If you look at it that way, you would say, yeah, it hasn't worked out like that. How can you say peace on earth and goodwill toward men and look at places like Iraq or Afghanistan or even Sudan or Somalia? Where is the God of peace in the midst of these conflicts? That's challenging, isn't it, sometimes, right? How can a holy God and a righteous God, how does he let those things go on? We'll talk a little bit more about that even on Wednesday night as well. If you guys come for that, we're going to look at again at the destruction of the Canaanites. But today, maybe it's not even just this big world picture of peace. Maybe it's a personal picture of peace. It may be in your own life, you're saying, where is the God of peace in the middle of my own turmoil? I can't escape. I can't breathe. Conflict is all around me. Is there peace for you today? And again, that's why I started with that passage in Matthew this morning. There's a parallel passage in Luke. Let's look at that just briefly. Luke chapter 12, verse 51. And here again, Jesus says, "Do you think I came to bring peace on earth? No, I tell you, but division. From now on, there will be five in one family divided against each other, three against two, two against three. They will be divided, father against son, and son against mother, mother against daughter, and daughter against mother, mother-in-law against daughter-in-law, and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." Even in Jesus' day, they were looking for Jesus to bring peace through a conquering kingdom. Israelites were looking for, we're going to throw off the Roman power, we are going to be the elite nation in the world, and peace will exist because we will be the mightiest nation, and this is going to be our conquering king. That's what they were looking for. You think Jesus kind of threw him a curveball when he went to the cross? That doesn't make sense, does it, right? And yet that's how he brought peace. He brought it as a suffering servant. He brought it as a baby born in a stable, laid in a manger. It doesn't make sense. He didn't get born in the castle. They were looking for this kingly warrior to come, and he came as this humble baby who would die on a tree. They missed the Messiah that had come. The Jews were looking for peace on earth, peace through the overthrowing of Rome, peace through violence. But Jesus didn't come with a message of anarchy. He came laid out on a cross and barely speaking a word to any of his accusers. He did come to bring peace, but Jerusalem missed it. And this is what I always think about this time of year. Do you ever feel like we might miss the Messiah? Do you know what I'm talking about? Here was a whole group of people that had studied the Scriptures. They had studied the Old Testament for years and years. They knew, they believed that the Pharisees knew that a Messiah was going to come. And Messiah showed up, and they didn't believe it was him, and they missed him. Sometimes I wonder about that in my own life. Do I look for things that I've already boxed in, I've already laid out, this is what it's got to look like. And maybe I need to open my heart again and see how Jesus wants to work and how he wants to show himself even in my own life. Let's look in Luke 19:37. Again, this idea, if they had only paid attention. Jesus says in verse 37 of Luke 19, when he came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in loud voices for all the miracles they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Or you may be familiar with Hosanna, right? They're shouting Hosanna. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. You even hear them shouting the words, peace. And some of the Pharisees in verse 39 in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. Verse 40, Jesus says, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. Isn't that good? Verse 41, as he approached Jerusalem, he saw the city. What did Jesus do? What did Jesus do? The King of all creation, he wept and he cried over this city. And what did he say? If you, even you, had only known on this day what would bring you peace, but now it's hidden from your eyes. Does that give a little tremble in you? I hope it does. There are people all in these houses and in those houses and in those houses, and peace is ever before them. An opportunity for forgiveness and reconciliation is all around them. But it's hidden from their eyes because they've hardened their hearts. And we need to pray today the Lord would use us to break through those hardened hearts and give us opportunity for their eyes to be open so they can recognize true peace that has come. Rather than a Black Friday sale or a nice white Christmas movie or show, that they would recognize real true peace. Are you with me today? That's how the Lord, I think, would challenge us today. Lord, help us as we try to honor him. I want you to recognize today that peace is precious. In Romans chapter 5, Paul writes this, and he says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Again, the greatest truth in all the Scriptures, that through faith, we can be just as if I'd never sinned, reconciled with the Almighty. And it came, again, at the highest of prices that we even shared this morning, as Todd did. Let me read it again just for you because it's such a great passage. Isaiah 53:4. Surely he took up our infirmities and he carried our sorrows. Yet we considered him stricken by God, smitten by him and afflicted. Do you see what they're saying? This is so true. Isaiah says, here's what it's going to look like. They're going to see this man. They're going to see him suffer. They're going to see him being beaten. And they're going to say, boy, what did he do to deserve this? God is doing this to him. And what Isaiah's writing, no, you're missing it. God is doing it to him for you. It's on your behalf. That's why it's happening. We esteemed him stricken of God, smitten of him. But what was it? He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his stripes or by his wounds, we are healed. Praise the Lord. Colossians 1:20 says the same idea. And through him, that is through Jesus, to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on the earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. How did peace come? Was it just a whim? Was it just a, don't worry about that, God says. I know we all mess up from time to time. Is that how God looks at sin? Again, Vicki was challenging us this morning that we would look like John the Baptist once in a while, that we would let people know that they need to repent. It is a big deal. Sin is a huge deal in God's eyes. It's so big that he allowed his own son to be cut up on our behalf. Do you hear the word of God this morning? I don't know how the Lord would speak to you, but it just challenges me today that we laugh at sin, we dabble in sin, we play around with it a little bit. And here we're reminded that Jesus made peace through blood shed on the cross because of our sin. Peace comes at a cost, people. We know that, right? We know that from our soldiers. We know that from every memorial service we've been at. We know that peace comes at a cost. Here, the greatest peace ever bought came at the greatest cost. The wrath of God poured out on his only perfect, holy Son that we might be reconciled. Thank you, Lord, right? Praise the Lord this morning. Worship him even as you sit there today. Peace is precious. Peace is powerful. Romans chapter 16, verse 20. The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Isn't that the way to end a book? You're fighting a battle. You're going through a struggle. Here, let me tell you about this. You know what's going to happen? You know what's coming up at the end? The God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. We don't put those things together a lot of times, do we? Wait a minute. You're the peaceful, the kind, the loving. Our God, the God who is making real reconciliation, is going to crush Satan and all of his demons and all of his devils and all of his army. God is in control. This is not an equal match. Some people like to play up dark and light and good and evil like everything is just equal. That's ridiculous. Our God is the God, and he is in control, and he will crush Satan. The God of peace will, because he will make peace when he does that. Is that something to look forward to? Man, if the train was going, I'm on it today. You know what I'm saying? Let's go. I want to see that. I'm glad, so glad to be adopted by a father who is going to make things right. He's going to make peace happen. Peace is powerful. John 16, 33, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. Notice what Jesus says here. In this world you will have what? You will have trouble. Jesus says, I'm telling you, you're not going to have it just completely easy, but take heart. Why? Because I have overcome the world. Whew. How come I'm the only one like about ready to explode? You guys seem like you're just sitting there. This is like the best stuff ever, isn't it? Jesus says to you, I have overcome the world. Take heart. Yes, you're going to have hard days. It's going to be tough. But guess what? I've already won. I've already beat it. I'm risen from the dead. Don't let death scare you. Don't let it beat you down. I know we hear a lot of times, and don't please keep them coming, prayer requests for people who have cancer, who have diabetes, who have sickness that's going to lead to death. And it is going to lead to death eventually, right, for all of us. And it's hard and it hurts. But even Jesus reminds us that, hey, in the world, you're going to have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Man, is it good to know the Lord today? It is. Amen. Peace is powerful. How do you find peace? Well, very simply, this is where we need to be with everyone today. You have got to know Jesus. How do people look for peace today? What do you think? There will be some people probably that will try to buy some peace. Already they are, aren't they? Well, my relationship with my children or stepchildren is not so good, but you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to give them the best material Christmas ever. It'll buy some peace. Well, I've treated my spouse like a jerk for the last few months, but you know what? I'll get her a nice necklace and that'll make up for it. I'll reconcile it, get some peace, right? Yeah. There's some people doing peace that way. How do some other people do peace? Well, I'll go read the best self-help books and I'll go to these workshops and consortiums and where they're sharing these ideas, and maybe I can find that true inner peace. Or maybe I'll just set aside and create a meditative garden. And don't get me wrong, if you have a nice garden, I hope you do. That'd be great. But if you're thinking that by sitting and humming in a meditative garden that you're going to find peace, you're still going to have chaos at the end of the day. All right? If you want to find peace, you need reconciliation with the Almighty God through the gift of his precious son, Jesus, who died for you. You guys, that's a message we got to tell. And I'm glad to tell it, and I will tell it every Sunday in here as long as I can, okay? But you can tell that everybody in here has probably heard this message about a few hundred times, right? You've got to tell the same message to the people in your world so they can hear about peace. And they can hear that it's more than buying gifts to reconcile a problem. They can hear the more it's just kind of having a quiet space. They can find out it's about forgiveness and repentance. And they can finally be free of all that guilt and that shame. That's how they can to do it. So I put it up here, and you guys have heard this. It's an old phrase, but so true. If you don't have Jesus, you don't have peace. And if you want to know peace, you need to know Jesus. Again, the question we must ask to all of our friends and our loved ones, our coworkers, our neighbors, is do you know him? Do you know him? That's it. As we saw in our movie night a few weeks ago, is Jesus worth it? What was the answer? It was a resounding yes, wasn't it? Yeah. There's brothers and sisters this Christmas will spend this Christmas incarcerated for their faith. But I'm going to tell you, on the inside, they're more free than most of the rest of the world because they've been reconciled and they know what is coming and Jesus is worth it. How about you today? Do you know him? Do you know him? Even this, I think, is a good way as we get a little more practical beyond this idea, which is so important, to know Jesus, and that is to slow down. Even Jesus says, come away and rest a while. And I know you guys, we don't have control over everything for sure, but there's some parts of our schedule that maybe we can control. Take control of these times, take time to reflect and to seek out the Lord and to be thankful for what he's done. Philippians 4:6, you guys probably have this memorized. Don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God which transcends all understanding or passes all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Do you see a great promise there? Wow. This is always, I said this is the, Bobby, is it McFerrin, whatever, this is your don't worry, be happy verse, right? Okay. When your anxiety is pressing down on you, the Lord says, hey, bring it to me. You guys, that's all I'm trying to do on Sunday mornings when I stand down here and I beg for you to share your anxieties with your brothers and sisters. Give those things to the Lord. The Lord says, you give those things, you cast those cares on me, and in peace that passes understanding, I will give to you to guard your heart and your mind. He's not saying he's going to take you out of the world, he's going to take trouble out of the world. He didn't say either one of those things, but he will give you that peace. You believe that? That's the word of the Lord today. Be thankful. Make peace. Peace begins where hate ends. If you want peace, you'll need to forfeit your hates. You need to give up your right to revenge. Again, briefly here, Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. If it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge, and I will repay, says the Lord. Verse 20, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. And in doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. There are people here, maybe here today, I don't know. There are definitely people within our church body that in order for them to have peace, they got to make some reconciliation in their life. You got to quit trying to hold that grudge and figuring out how you're going to take out your revenge. Right? It's kind of funny, this week Wendy had a little boy at school and he had this little, third grade, and this little girl, they were together, and the little boy came to Wendy, he was just crying and crying, and Wendy said, what's going on? Well, my friend, I won't say her name. Anyway, she says, she told him, he goes, she told me that she was going to give me the silent treatment. Right? And so he was just crying and crying. And so finally Wendy found out later on that, well, they were in line and she didn't want to get in trouble. So she told them, I'm going to give you the silent treatment, only till they could get out of line. Then they got to sit at lunch back together. So everything was reconciled. All right. All that to say, sometimes we have those things in our life. I'm going to give so-and-so the silent treatment, right? Yeah. I'm going to figure out how to kind of stick it to them a little bit, or I'm going to leave them hanging, or I'm going to, hey, you're not hurting them nearly as bad as you're hurting yourself, right? You want peace to come today? Hear me out. Is there someone you need to make reconciliation with? Mom or dad, a son or a daughter, a neighbor, a coworker? Is there somebody that you need to say, hey, I'm going to let the Lord take care of the vengeance, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to love them and pray for them and be kind to them. I'm going to heap burning coals on their head till the Lord comes, because I got to let that go so it doesn't eat me alive, right? That's part of the peace that the Lord brings as well. Make peace. And then finally here, I want you to share Christ, and this is how we bring peace. In Acts 10:36, Luke writes, "You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all." How about that? This is the message. Share it out. You guys, that's how you'll bring peace. If you want to bring peace, share the message and live out the life. Let me close with this long illustration. It's kind of a long one. Bear with me, but it's really good. A reminder of how your life can help bring peace to other people who need Christ. This is from Lee Strobel himself. While working as a journalist for the Chicago Tribune, Lee Strobel was assigned to report on the struggles of an impoverished inner-city family during the weeks leading up to Christmas. A devout atheist at the time, Strobel was mildly surprised by the family's attitude in spite of their circumstances, submitted by Eugene Maddox. The Delgados, this family, there was a 60-year-old grandma named Perfecta and her granddaughters, Lydia and Jenny. They had been burned out of their roach-infested tenement and were now living in a tiny two-room apartment on the west side. Lee Strobel says, "As I walked in, I couldn't believe how empty it was. There was no furniture, no rugs, nothing on the walls, just a small kitchen table and a handful of rice, and that's it. They were virtually devoid of possessions. In fact, 11-year-old Lydia and 13-year-old Jenny owned only one short-sleeve dress each, plus one thin gray sweater between them. When they walked the half mile to school through the cold, Lydia would wear the sweater for part of the distance and then hand it to her sister, who would wear it the rest of the way. But despite their poverty and the painful arthritis that kept Perfecta from working, she still talked confidently about her faith in Jesus. She was convinced he had not abandoned them. I never sensed despair or self-pity in her home. Instead, there was a gentle feeling of hope and peace." That's crazy, isn't it? But wonderful. Strobel completed his article, and he moved on to more high-profile assignments. But when Christmas Eve arrived, he found his thoughts drifting back to the Delgados and their unflinching belief in God's providence. In his words, "I continued to wrestle with the irony of the situation. Here was a family that had nothing but faith, and they seemed happy, while I had everything I needed materially but lacked faith, and inside I felt as empty and barren as their apartment." In the middle of a slow news day, Strobel decided to pay a visit to the Delgados. When he arrived, he was amazed at what he saw. Readers of his article had responded to the family's need in an overwhelming fashion, filling the small apartment with donations. Once inside, Strobel encountered new furniture, appliances, rugs, a large Christmas tree, stacks of wrapped presents, bags of food, and a large selection of warm winter clothes. Readers had even donated a generous amount of cash. But it wasn't the gifts that shocked Lee Strobel, an atheist in the middle of Christmas generosity. It was the family's response to those gifts. In his words, "As surprised as I was by this outpouring, I was even more astonished by what my visit was interrupting. Perfecta and her granddaughters were getting ready to give away much of their newfound wealth. When I asked Perfecta why, she replied in halting English, 'Our neighbors are still in need. We cannot have plenty while they have nothing. This is what Jesus would want us to do.'" That blew me away. If I had been in their position at that time in my life, I would have been hoarding everything. I asked Perfecta what she thought about the generosity of the people who had sent all these goodies, and again her response amazed me. "This is wonderful. This is very good," she said, gesturing toward the largesse. "We did nothing to deserve this. It's a gift from God. But," she added, "it is not his greatest gift. No, we celebrate that tomorrow, and that is Jesus." And to her, this child in the manger was the undeserved gift that meant everything. more than material possessions, more than comfort, more than security. And at that moment, something inside of me wanted desperately to know this Jesus, because in a sense, I saw him in Perfecta and her granddaughters. They had peace despite poverty. And while I had anxiety despite plenty, they knew the joy of generosity while I only knew the loneliness of my ambition. They looked heavenward for hope while I only looked to myself. They experienced the wonder of the spiritual while I was shackled to the shallowness of the material. And something made me long for what they had, or more accurately, for the one they knew. Peace is the presence of righteousness. If you will live out forgiveness and reconciliation in love this holiday season, you will bring peace wherever you go. May the Lord help us to do that. Today I'm going to ask you to stand. Again, I'm going to go back to the piano and play here just for a little bit. But what I would like for you to